Last Wednesday, we started on Psalm 37, and we got quite a ways through it, but we didn't finish it. And so I thought, you know what, I'm just going to finish that tonight. And I'm excited about where we are, because there's some meat in the end of the psalm that I really wanted to get to. So I'll just hit some highlights from last week, and then we'll get right into where we were. But in verse 1 and 2, it's God versus others. The Lord is eternal in your life. Evil is only temporary, right? And so when we think about God and we think about what He's done for us and all of that, we just have to keep that. Remember, my life is in God, and that's eternal. So when there are things that hit us in life, right, there are things that just kind of, you know, come out of the blue and you know, dealing with certain things, it's like, no, God, this is painful, and I get all of that, but I'm keeping my eyes on You, because You are my life. And you know, verse 3, it talks about committing your ways to the Lord, and He'll delight you. And trust, we talked about trust, and again, trust is that, Lord, everything that I'm about and everything that I am in You is from an eternal perspective and not an earthly perspective. In other words, if I don't understand what's going on right now, I'm assured that in the long run, Father, it's all going to be okay, because I'm going to be with You forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Is so good. And so we're supposed to delight in the Lord. And again, that means to be soft-hearted, pliable, and enjoy. Our relationship with the Lord, we ought to be soft-hearted. And it's funny, not funny, but Josh, when we have our prayer meeting every week on Thursday, one of the things that he always puts in there is soften hearts. Lord, give us all softened hearts. Soften the hearts of the people that are coming. That's for two reasons. It's so that we can be open to Him, right? That our hearts can be open for what He wants to give to us. But it's also, it's like our hearts can be completely just free to worship Him the way He deserves to be worshiped. Lord, I don't want any hard heart. I don't want any part of that. I want to just be soft towards You. And so delight, again, delighting in God is to be soft-hearted toward Him. And commit, I mean, we said last week, commit means to roll with. In other words, come on, I'll roll with you. You know, again, I want to walk with God. I want Him to walk with me, right? So let's just get into where I want to be tonight. Again, the theme is delighting in God. But let's go down to verse 22. It says, for those blessed by Him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by Him shall be cut off. And under the New Testament, Jesus paid the price so that we could be with Him. And He paid the price so that the curse no longer applies to us. But if you don't submit to Him in certain areas, then there's repercussions that happen. And like all of those who've maybe heard the gospel, maybe you've preached the gospel and they go, I don't want, you know, I don't think. You see, they are under the curse already because they don't have the answer to it. But we've got to understand that there's different aspects to it, right? Now, cursed or blessed, I just want to go over this, and we're not going to spend a lot of time, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I just want to point out a couple things while we're here, because this is really, really cool. Verse 1 says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today. Now let's just stop there for a minute. What did Jesus say about the commandments? Do you remember? He said they're all wrapped up in two. So when he's talking here, when you're reading here, you can go back to, oh, he means love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. So just think about that. I need to be obedient in my love walk with God and with others. And sometimes that's not as easy as it sounds, right? But we have to choose. We have to be committed. We have to decide that that's what I'm going to do, whether I feel like it, whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you push all of my buttons or not, right? I'm going to love you anyway. Why? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. But it says, all the commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Now he's talking to the nation of Israel, but we can apply that to ourselves. If God is for us and we're obeying him, he's going to put us in the place that he wants us to be in. Right? And I'll just give you a classic example of that just today. Right? The tree fell on the truck and the car, and I found out today that because of the way the roof was damaged, the car's totaled too. Yeah, I love that car. But anyway, that's okay. But, you know, I'm getting there. Okay, now this adjuster, I'm going to have to really get my... Because I'm not going to take what they're going to get. And so I got online on how to negotiate with the adjuster and do all of those things. And I was going through that process, and I got some documentation, everything that the lawyer told me to do that was online. And then I went, you know, I have favor with God. Amen. I'm doing what he wants me to do. He's going to set me on high. In other words, I was getting a little bit anxious about it and going, boy, it's going to be a fight. Stop it. If God's for me, right? And my provision is not limited to what somebody else says. My provision is only limited, according to these verses, by my obedience. We'll go on. He'll set me on high. Verse 2 says, and all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Shall come upon you and overtake you. You know, it's one thing to get a gift. But I've been to a few places where somebody who had really nothing, and then a church or another group said, we're going to bless these people. And they come into the house, and here's all of these gifts. They're bringing them by the truckload, practically. And the woman and the kids, we had Project Angel Tree. We did this for years. And it was like they were just overwhelmed with the blessings. So it's not just that they got gifts. They were overtaken with gifts. So this says that all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I like that. Lord, your blessings are going to overtake me. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle and your offsprings and your flocks. And now most of us, maybe none of us, have any of those things, right? I don't have cattle. I don't really have crops. I don't, you know, but I do have sources of income. And that's what he's talking about here. So if we follow God, he's going to even bless the source of our income. And it's not just going to bless us, he's going to overtake us with it. So in other words, if we're walking in God and really committed to him and really resting and delighting in him, he'll take care of the rest of that. He'll bring us promotion. He will. Amen. Verse 5 says, blessed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you come out, go out. And the Lord will cause the enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Now, sometimes we get into the attitude that, oh, man, I'm just being overridden by the devil. I'm just, it's one tack after another. This is the worst thing that I've ever gone through. Maybe, just maybe, we ought to come back and say, okay, Lord, how's my love walk? Because if my love walk is right, then these blessings will come upon me and overtake me. And I won't have to fight so hard against the enemy if I'll seek the Lord rather than worrying about him. Just another story that I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. He was, in bed one night and, 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke up and the devil's sitting at the foot of his bed, standing there. He appeared to him. And Smith Wigglesworth just said, oh, it's only you, rolled over, went back to sleep. Why? Because he knew who he was in Christ. He knew that God was on his side. He knew that God was fighting for him. And so it's all a position of, Lord, I know you're going to bless me. I know you have blessed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I read more than I was going to, but go down to verse 15 because I want you to see the contrast. Verse 15, it says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all his commandments and his statute which I command you today, all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be in the... And on it goes through all the cursings. Here's what I'm trying to say. I think that if things aren't going right for us, and the correlation between them might be hard to see, but how is my love walk going? Am I truly loving God with my whole heart? And then the second part of that, am I really loving my neighbor as myself? And not just the neighbors that I like, but all the neighbors. What did Jesus say, man? Bless those who curse you. And don't let bitterness rise up in your heart. You see, all of those things, it's like, if those are there, I think it shuts off the avenue of blessing. And so it's like, listen, I can't afford not to forgive you. I can't afford to have bitterness in my heart towards you. I can't afford to lie to you. I can't afford to cheat you. I can't afford... Why? Because when I do, it cuts off the blessing of God. And I don't want to do that. Amen? So let's go back to Psalm 37. This is such a cool verse. And I'm going to get it out of in a different version also. But in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his ways. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delights in his ways. So let me get that right here. I got it. Get me a different version here. Hang on. All right, verse 23, it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. This is so awesome. The Lord delights, and in the King James and in the New King James, the steps of a good man. And in fact, in the King James, it says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Where does your goodness come from? What's that? Yes, Yes, but it's more specific. The goodness that I walk in before the Lord is Jesus' goodness. It's not my righteousness that I stand before God in. It's His righteousness. So what I'm saying by that is that the steps of my life, I can be assured are ordered of the Lord because I'm standing in the goodness and the righteousness of God, not my own. Because if it's my own, well, then one day it's okay. The next day it might not be so okay. You know, one day I'm doing great, and the other day, I might stub my toe. But I'm standing in the righteousness of God, and so I can be assured that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So it's so cool. Years ago, I had to make a decision, and somebody sent me this calligraphy with this verse, and it framed in a frame. And it was one of those decisions where, do I, don't I? Do I, don't I? Do. And I had friends telling me, do it. You got scripture there. Don't do it. You know. Anyway, back and forth. And I was just spinning. I got some great advice about praying it through. But that scripture came to me and said, wait a minute. I don't have to fret in this. I just have to seek God. And He'll put one foot in front of the other because I'm delighting in Him. Is that awesome? Verse 25. Actually, let's look at a couple scriptures first. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I've got a lot of scripture tonight. I hope we get to all of it. Romans chapter 8. And so bear with me, guys. I might be skipping around and skipping some that I wrote down and all that, but you're kind of used to that. Okay, Romans chapter 8, and if I can get these pages unstuck. All right. In verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now let me just get that in a kind of a reverse order. If you're a son or daughter of God, son is the generic term. If you're a son of God, then there's an expectation that you're going to be led by God. So if I'm born again, I can have an expectation that God is going to lead me. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, he's not going to follow. So I've done that many times when I've not known what to do. I've just walked around. I'm your sheep. I know your voice. I'm your sheep. And when confusion's, I'm your sheep. I know your voice. And the voice of a stranger, not only will I not follow, I refuse to follow. All right, verse 15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Think about that for just a minute. When you don't know what to do and there's confusion and there's pressure, what is at the core of that? At the core of that is the fear of failure, the fear of doing the wrong thing, the fear that it's not going to work out correctly. What if I make the wrong decision? What if I do this? What if I do that? And here the reality is that if I'm assured that I'm with God and God is with me, He's ordering my steps. He'll speak to me and tell me what to do, right? Hallelujah. Because I didn't receive the spirit, the bondage again to fear, but I received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, our direction, yes, it can come by thoughts and wisdom of man, but there's even another source inside of our spirit where the Holy Spirit will bring thoughts up to our mind in the time of crisis, even when we don't. Again, I'm going to go back to that because in that decision that I had to make, I was so confused, and I was going to Rhema at the time, and I actually went to some of my teachers and tried to get their advice, and they were kind of, man, that's tough. You know, big help you are, right? But I went to a associate pastor of the church I was going to, and I went to him, And I was at this point, because I had all these confusing opinions, and I went into his office. I said, George, I said, I don't know if you can help me or not. And he said, well, let's not limit the Holy Ghost. And so I laid out the dilemma that I had, just like I had other people. And he said, you need to hear from God. I said, George, I don't even know if I hear from him anymore. Because that's the confusion that I was in by the pressure of the decision. And he said, oh, yes, you do. Why? Because he had the word on it. He didn't need my opinion or somebody else. He knew I was born again. He knew that the Spirit of God lived in me. He knew that I was able to get that witness. And he said, you know, are you filled with the Spirit? Yeah, absolutely. You got your prayer language? Yeah, okay. He said, okay, here's what I want you to do. And we're in his office, and his office wasn't very big. And there were other offices in this church building, and they were all around. And the walls weren't that thick. And he says, I want you to pray in the Spirit as loud and as hard as you can right now. And keep praying. And I don't know how long we did it. It might have been 5 minutes, might have been 10 minutes. Seemed like a little while, but we're getting after it. I mean, just and after a while, he said, now just get quiet. Just be still. And I didn't get the answer that day, but I got the peace that day. And I knew that that's where the answer would come from. You hear what I'm saying? And so the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. But we have to know that born again, coming into eternal life, gives us a ticket with God. It's just amazing. Psalm 37 again. Hallelujah. I like this verse too. Well, I like them all, but I'm going to read 23 and go into 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. That's so awesome. And I'm just going to give it to you in my language. I screw up a lot. At times. And in my walk with the Lord, I've not done the right things, and I've messed up. But because I'm assured that I am in right relationship with God because of the blood of Jesus, I can take a verse like this and say, Lord, I'm not going to stay down. I'm getting up. I'm getting up because you are upholding me by my righteous right hand. And I could tell you testimony after testimony that Renita and I have gone through by holding on to these verses. It's absolutely made the difference in our lives. I'm assured that God is for me. I'm assured that God is with me. And he's got a hold of me. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at, well, let's look at two verses. Go to Psalm 34 right quick. Psalm 34. Verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. In other words, we have darts in life. And don't make that too spiritual or too... Things attack us. We get a bill we weren't expecting. Somebody says something stupid to us. Or, you know, I mean, all these things that come at us, and they're not always the devil, right? It's not always the devil. But when they come at us, we get yelled at by our boss, or, you know, or somebody calls up and complains, or a tree falls on your car, right? Right? It says here that the Lord delivers them out of it. In other words, the Lord gives you a pathway to get through whatever's coming at you. Right? And so we have to start building our faith on those experiences rather than going into every experience at the same level we went into the last one with. So if God has brought us through before in a financial situation, rather than going, I don't know what I'm going to do. Wait a minute. Do you remember that? He'll do it again. In the Old Testament, it was important for the fathers to teach their children. And over again, if you're reading through the Old Testament, there's story after story repeating, this is what happened when we came through the Red Sea. This is what happened when we needed food. This is what happened. Why? Why was that so important? It's because if you need food, he'll do the same thing for you. Right? And so getting involved in that, understand it, is so awesome. Now, Psalm 40. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 because I think it just fits. I was just going to do 2, but I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me. I waited patiently. And that doesn't mean this. God, where are you? I prayed 5 minutes ago, and you're not here yet. It's more of the sense of, I waited on the Lord. I served the Lord. It's like when you're at the restaurant, the waitress or the waiter waits on you. They serve you. So I am serving the Lord. I'm delighting in the Lord. I'm, you know, with the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined his ear to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and he established my steps. Isn't that awesome? He's the same God. He's doing the same thing. He'll do the same thing for you and me. And again, now, Psalm 37, verse 25. I've been old. I've been young. I've been old. Let me read that again. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. I absolutely believe that's true. When we've faced financial things at times, and you know, it's like, God, where's this going to come? Where's that going to come from? How are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? All that. I come back to this verse, and I just say, Lord, this verse says that he'd never seen the righteous forsaken and a seed begging for bread. So I refuse, Lord, to just live anywhere below that standard. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not saying, Lord, you owe me. I'm not doing any of that. But you're my Father, and I know that you'll take care of me. And even if I'm in a pit because I made the pit, he's going to show me a way out, and he'll take care of me in the midst of it. And I'm telling you, he's done that for us over and over and over again. Just in when we went full time in the church, of course, we're not sponsored by anybody. We don't have anything to fall back on. It's like God uses the people to bring finances so that we can live. But if they don't come, and there were several months there where you know, here we had this amount of money, this amount of bills, and my salary. And so we needed to pay the rent. We needed to pay the electricity. And so my salary just wasn't paid for several months. And it's like, Lord, we're just trusting you. You know, I quit a job that was supplying us pretty good, but I'm trusting you, and I can rely on you. And I'm telling you, in those lean times, he came through every time. Every time. We never went without food. We never went without, you know. It's just good. And so the whole point is I can trust him, and he will not let me down. He will not let me down. I'm going to skip Psalm 94 and just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. And this is Paul talking. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Talking about himself, talking about you and me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, this body is the house where this treasure dwells. That the excellency of the power of God, power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. In other words, God's with us. So it doesn't matter what the outside force is coming at us, when we can trust and rest and rely on the fact that God is with us, none of those things move us. None of those things move us. I mean, you know, there's fear. People have fear. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if they, you know, start really persecuting the church? I don't want that. But if it happens, God is going to be with me in that. I'm going to continue the stand on standing on the Word of God. And if they put me in jail because I preach the Word of God without apology, He'll be with me in jail. Do you see what I'm saying? So, and that's what Paul went through it, man. I mean, he went through it. Verse 30. Let's go to verse 30 of Psalm 37. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. What does the mouth speak? It speaks wisdom. It talks of God's justice. What does it mean to speak wisdom? Speaking wisdom is speaking what God says to do. If you have to have your mouth speaking what God said. And again, we've gone this over and over and over again. I mean, I've been preaching for a long time. And so thankful and so awesome. And in fact, we're in our 30th year for this church right now. I mean, the anniversary will be next January 1st, but 30 years. And I've talked about what's coming out of our mouth and what we're speaking. And we have to speak life. We have to speak what the Word says. We have to put that in our mouth. And yet it's so easy to fall back into speaking all the things that are wrong instead of speaking life. Now, I'm not saying that we need to lie about anything, that we don't tell the truth. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is the truth is the doctor said such, such, and such, and such. But God's Word says such and such and such and such. So I'm going to at least be smart enough to speak the Word as much as I'm speaking the other, if not more. Right? Right? If the world is saying that we're all going to, you know, the finances are going to collapse and everything's going to go to heck in a handbasket and, your money's going to be no good and all well, okay. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging for bread. My God provides all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I give and He gives back to me good measure. Here's one of the things. It's like I need to be obedient in His Word. And when I know He's told me to do something, I'm doing it. I don't care what it costs. I'm doing it. Here's an interesting fact, and I promise you, I'm not really asking for you to bring things to me, but it's interesting in America that right now they've gone through churches, and the people that tithe in churches in America is like, it's the lowest it's ever been. It's like it's 6.something%. Think about that for just a minute. 6.something%. Now here's why is that? Well, because inflation came. And inflation said, well, wait a minute. I like my lattes. I like to do this, this, and this, and this. And I like to go out to dinner 7 times a week. And I like to, I just can't get this cheap thing. I need to get the, and what they've said is, I don't want to give that up. So I'm going to take it from the tithe or I'm going to take it from my giving. It's like people who say to America, we shouldn't give. We should think about our own. We should think. I'm of the opinion that the reason that our economy works and it's so great is because we are benefactors to people in Africa, people all over the world. I'm not saying there shouldn't be accountability, but no, don't stop giving, because according to the Word of God, that's the very thing that's bringing us the blessing. But we have to keep in our mouths what God says and begin to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we speak of God's wisdom, what he says, and then we talk of God's justice. What does that mean for a believer? I'm justified. I'm justified. I can go boldly before the throne of God and be justified in being there because of the blood of Jesus and because my high priest presented it before his throne and it was accepted and I am justified. God's justice demands that every sin has a consequence to it, a judgment assigned to it. And let me tell you, believe me with all, everything I'm telling you, every sin does. Every sin does. But every sin that's ever been committed is absolutely been paid for by the blood of Jesus. But it only applies to those who come to him and make him the Lord of their lives. Right. Many of us walk around like this. It's like, yeah, I'm saved and I know the Lord's forgiven me. But let me tell you what I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. And it might have been horrendous, and I'm not mitigating that. And there might be consequences that you're living out. But for you to continue to talk more about that than that you've been free from the bondage of that, because Jesus paid the price for it, you're not talking about the justice of God. You're actually walking in unbelief of the justice of God, because the justice of God was satisfied when Jesus was nailed to the cross and was risen from the dead. His justification became our justification. So what does that mean? I'm going to speak of his justification. When the enemy brings condemnation, I'm going to go, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't have that spirit of bondage anymore. Hallelujah. When guilt and condemnation, I should have done this, and we'd be so better off if we didn't do that. Let me ask you a question. Did you ask for forgiveness? Yeah, I did. Well, the Bible says, if you've asked him for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all and forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So why are you under the weight of something that's already been paid for? Let me tell you a story, and I think it helps illustrate this. Back, you know, in the 1800s, there was one of the lords and the ladies, a lady that had a lot of money, a lot of status in society. And she had this woman who was kind of like her chambermaid and had worked for her for like 40 years. Well, the woman, the lady had died. And so this chamber person moved out of the house and thought, well, that's it. And found a cardboard shanty somewhere in the slums of the town to live. Well, when she had died, the estate gave her this piece of paper, and she thought, well, that's pretty, and so she hung it up on her wall. And later, somebody came in. She was sick or something, and the emergency came through, and somebody that could read, they read that, and what's this? Well, you know, I was this person, and this person's made for years, and when she died, they gave this to me. Isn't that nice? I said, you don't understand. this is part of her will. And in her will, she gave you a house and she gave you all the provisions that you'll ever need for the rest of your life. And you're just not aware of it. Sometimes as Christians, because we're not aware of what Jesus paid the price for us and the justice, what that brings to us, we're living in a way that is not making benefit of what he did for us. Does that make sense? And so we have to speak not only of his word, but we have to speak what his word has accomplished. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Again, sometimes in our Christian walk, things don't happen like we want them to do. And I think one of the things that hits most of us is like we have kids that maybe aren't making the right decisions or doing things wrong, and we've prayed about them, and yet something, it's not happening. And what we're saying is it's not happening right now in my timetable, but that doesn't mean things aren't happening. But listen, again, to wait means to put your trust. Wait means I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God with my son, my daughter, my sister, my brother, my parents, whatever it is, I'm going to just put them in God's hand and trust in him. Trust the Lord and keep his ways. Even when it's not popular, even when it doesn't seem right, even when people go, oh, Mom, are you doing that again? Are you going to church again, Mom? How come you have to go to church so much? How come you go every Sunday. Can't you take a few off, right? I mean, that type of thing. And the reality is, no, I trust God. And I'm going to walk in the way that he said, because he said, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together with other believers. That's how we do it. We go to church and we hang around each other. We rub each other. Sometimes the right way. But it's important. Somebody said, well, you know, my church, I just go online. And so I watch this one online and I watch that one online. And that's awesome. And we're some of you are watching tonight. Perfect. I'm not against that at all. But here's the deal. If we're going to love one another, I can't love you through the internet. I can't put my arm around you and pray for you. I mean, I can in a sense, but it's not the same. And watch this. I can't serve you with in every way through the screen. And you can't serve others that way either. And so, no, I mean, it's awesome. And people that can't make it to church because, you know, driving conditions, whatever, or physical limitations, great, that's awesome. I'm not trying to put you under condemnation at all. I'm so glad that you're with us. But it doesn't make up for. And sometimes we can get into that habit. And I don't think it's good. Anyway, I'll get off. So if you wait, trust in the Lord, you'll succeed. Because he'll put you over. Psalm 27, and verse 13. Psalm 27, and verse 13. Hallelujah. Would have lost heart unless I had believed that the Lord, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And again, that wait is trusting. It's serving him. It's relying on him. It's worshiping him. I just trust you, God. I just trust you, God. When you become overwhelmed with the circumstances that you're in, and it seems overwhelming, and this side, I just encourage you to just walk around your room, walk around the house, driving in the car. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I may not understand you, but I trust you. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why this has happened, but I trust you. I trust you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 37 of Psalm 37 says, mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. If you do that a little bit backwards and you go, I'm never in peace. I never have peace. I'm always in turmoil. I'm always stressed out. It seems like it's one thing after another. Oh my God. I mean, you know, it's like, wait a minute. Am I living the way I'm supposed to be living? Am I trusting God the way that I'm supposed to be trusting Him? Because if I am, peace is the result. And if there's no peace, I need to back that up and just talk to the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm not putting condemnation on anybody, but it's like, okay, Lord, what is it? Am I trusting in the Lord with all of my heart? Am I leaning on Him and putting all of my understanding on Him? Am I praying to Him? Am I giving Him everything? Am I casting my care upon the Lord, or am I taking it back? Because if I'm walking in His ways, He said, cast all of your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Think about that. For I've overcome the world. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That doesn't mean that you won't have tribulation, but that means that Jesus will be with you in the tribulation. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen. So good. So good. Again, verse 37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, and the future of the wicked shall be cut off. Have you ever had these thoughts, because you're probably holier than I am, but the thoughts of you see somebody and they just seem to be getting off. They're driving the best cars. They're doing this and this, and you know they're scoundrels, right? You know, my God, how come? I've lived long enough to those that are doing illegal things and seem to be getting along really good. There's coming a day when one of two things is going to happen. They're going to either end up in prison or the grave. And I'm still chucking along in peace, happy, joyful. Why? Because everything is perfect in my life? No. I'm married to a perfect woman. But other than that, you know, there are other things in my life that maybe aren't exactly right. But I know in whom I serve. And I know who lives with me. And I know who is in me. Whew. We have to be careful on who we follow. Come on. Are we following the world? Or are we following God? Are we rushing hard after God and trying to just listen to His voice so that He can guide our next step? Are we chasing the world and trying to figure out how to survive and how to get by and how to overcome and how to, you know? Well, I'm telling you, if we really understand eternal life, we can put our attention on Him and know that, hey, so what? So what if I run out of food and starve to death? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What's the worst thing that could happen? I could die and go be with Jesus, right? And I know God will take care of us and all of that, but you just have to suck the air out of that balloon that's trying to keep you in bondage. Verse 39 says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, and their strength, He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Again, the whole purpose or the whole plan, the whole emphasis is, God, I'm delighting in You. And if I delight in You, I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to speak Your word. I'm going to talk about Your justice. And Lord, even if it seems like I'm not going to make it, I'm going to just absolutely trust that You're going to help me make it. And if I fall down, You're not going to keep me down. You're going to pick me up, and I'm going to walk hand in hand with You. And God, I know that my deliverance is here because Jesus Christ is my deliverer. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You for all of those that are watching online. And I know because I've talked to a few people that are struggling, and I'm not going to name names, but Lord, I just thank You for giving the person that's struggling rest. I'm thanking You, Lord, for healing the bodies, Father, in Jesus' name. I just come against sickness and disease, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I just declare that I'm going to begin to speak life into my house, into my family, into my church, into my country. And Lord, I thank You for meeting with us and touching us. Lord, if they're sick on the internet that are listening to me, I just ask You to heal them right now. In Jesus' name. If there's needs that need to be met, Lord, I just thank You for bringing the provision. And Lord, I just declare that above all, we trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for watching. In Jesus' name, be blessed.